And Conti and Josh Grandison.
It's all things
ahead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conti.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
We happen to look no further than some counties in Kentucky where bad things have already happened. We had $400,000 stolen by Eastern European hackers from a Kentucky county payroll.
State Auditor Adam Edelin says that's one of the reasons Kentucky needs to bolster its cybersecurity protections.
Mitch McConnell now has a challenger in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate.
And an Eastern Kentucky lawmaker says taking away the driver's license of delinquent taxpayers will not get them to pay up.
In sports, Chicago's historic Wrigley Field will undergo a major renovation.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clearing tonight with lows falling into the 50s. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
State Auditor Adam Edelin says Kentucky needs to strengthen its cybersecurity protections. He says President Obama and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano have already made it clear that's a priority at the federal level.
And certainly we all should be aware of now the debacle that occurred in South Carolina where the relevant critical information for every taxpayers and business holder in the state of South Carolina was released to the public at a cost of over $30 million so far.
Edelin says one Kentucky county had $400,000 stolen from its payroll by Eastern European hackers. In addition, he says the Social Security numbers and other personal information of some Kentuckians were inadvertently exposed on the Internet. Edelin says Kentucky is one of just four states that lack a breach notification law. He says that means if a state agency accidentally releases personal information about residents of the Commonwealth online, the state has no obligation to inform those affected by it. He testified in Frankfurt this afternoon before the state and local government committee.
A well-known business and its proprietor are under investigation in Rowan County. State, federal, and local authorities spent hours yesterday raiding Lying Lee's used cars, owned by Marty Stevens of Moorhead. Witnesses say they saw several vehicles and paperwork confiscated by police during the ordeal. Little is known right now as to what authorities were looking for, but Kentucky State Police Trooper Joe Veneman says it's part of a larger investigation. He spoke with WKYT.
They basically have conducted five search warrants with Marty Stevens' properties. They're not being shut down through this investigation. However, it could be, as part of this investigation, it could be difficult for the business to continue day-to-day operations.
Veneman adds they have received several complaints over the years about the type of business conducted at Lying Lee's and sums up the situation as consumer-related. Marty Stevens was indicted by a grand jury last month on a charge of receiving stolen property.
The Boyd County Sheriff's Department has denied claims that deputies injured a man and deprived him of his civil rights. MSPR's Sam Steyer reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, the Sheriff's Department denies claims by Jerry Miller that some of its officers assaulted and injured him, and it is asking that Miller's lawsuit be dismissed. The suit's defendants include Sheriff Terry Kellen and Deputies Joe Lee Workman, Jason Nader, and Carl Hall. Miller alleges the deputies threatened him without provocation and wrestled him to the ground, cracking three of his ribs and injuring his wrist. Miller says the incident followed an alleged break-in at his Catlettsburg home in June 2012. He reportedly scuffled with the deputies. Miller was initially cited for menacing, but he was acquitted in the Boyd District Court last November. The defendants claim Miller has fabricated many of his accusations. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sam Steyert.
Ohio's high court has agreed to determine whether opponents of slots like video lottery terminals legalized by Governor John Kasich have the standing to sue. The Ohio Supreme Court's decision today came at the request of an anti-gambling group that's challenging Kasich's decision to allow VLTs at the state's seven horse tracks. The Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously upheld a lower court's ruling in March, saying the Ohio Roundtable lacked legal standing in the case and couldn't proceed. The suit argues Kasich improperly expanded the Ohio lottery by allowing the devices without putting the question to voters. Attorneys for the state say the governor was within his rights.
According to Rowan Judge Executive Jim Nickel, local residents are in for some major changes in their county government. Nichols says he's one of several officials who will be retiring from office when their current terms in office end next year.
The jailer also, I can't speak for the sheriff, but he's indicated he's retiring, as well as the county clerk. And there may be a couple of magistrates seeking other offices or not running. So you may have, very well may have, one of the largest ballots this county has ever seen with candidates.
Jailer Don Hall became the latest Rowan official to announce his intentions to leave office, as he informed the fiscal court just last week that he will retire at the end of the year. There are already a handful of individuals who've expressed interest in replacing Nichol. The list includes Deputy Judge Executive Jerry Alderman, Skip Hawley, and State Senator Walter Blevins.
Calling it one of the biggest decisions local officials will make in the next 50 years, retiring jailer Don Hall says it's critical that Rowan officials get it right as they plan for the building of the county's new regional detention center. Hall notes the current jail has 78 beds, and of the over 100 inmates locked up there on a monthly basis, more than 90% of them come from Rowan County, which means the facility is not holding enough state prisoners and those from other counties to create the kind of revenue that would take pressure off the county's general fund.
My vision is to build a 300-bed jail. We got five counties that touch us that don't have a jail. Some people may not have that same vision, but it's been proven in the past that when we rented beds, we kept our county contribution down. Of course, the overall budget has risen, as everything else has, but also our revenues have fallen, so it's become more and more of a financial burden to the county.
Hall says Rowan County takes out over $1 million a year from its general fund to pay for its jail operations. He estimates the new regional detention center will cost between $15 and $18 million to build, meaning it will have to generate enough revenue to help pay for itself.
Political newcomer Matt Bevin has declared the time has come for Kentucky voters to oust Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell. Bevin criticized McConnell at a Frankfurt press conference today for being part of the politics of failure for nearly three decades. Bevin offered himself as the alternative, saying he's a man of the people, having grown up in a farmhouse with wood stoves for heat, a garden for vegetables, and land that provided assorted animals for meat, milk, and eggs. The Louisville Investment Advisor charged that McConnell has lost touch with our state, its people, and our values.
A Martin County Coal Company official says he will be active in the 2014 election, supporting candidates who stand with the coal industry. Jim Booth of Booth Energy tells Insight Cable's Pure Politics the Obama administration has imposed rules on the Appalachian coal mines that have delayed or blocked new mining permits. He says that makes it impossible for him to contribute to candidates who side with the president on energy policy.
One of the things that I do is I practice my right to be able to give to the candidates that I support. I would have a difficult time supporting someone that supports the Obama agenda.
Pure Politics reports that Booth gave $2,500 to Republican U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell's reelection campaign last year, but that was before other candidates entered the field. Booth declines to say whether he'll give more money to another contender right now.
It's been nearly a year since the announcement of a deal to send up to 9 million tons of Kentucky coal to India. As KPR's Erica Peterson reports, the first shipment still has not left the Bluegrass.
Last August, Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear stood with coal industry representatives to announce a landmark export deal. An Indian company called Abhijit inked a $7 billion deal with a company called FJS Energy to send 6 to 9 million tons of Appalachian coal annually to India. At the time, Beshear praised the deal as a promising first step and a way to help revitalize the lagging eastern Kentucky coal industry.
International exports present a promising opportunity for Kentucky coal producers, as is demonstrated by this deal, and consequently for our communities whose economic vitality depends on coal.
But nearly a year later, the first shipment hasn't left Appalachia. Some of that coal was supposed to come from Booth Energy, but scandals in India's coal industry emerged right after the deal was announced. Now, Booth Energy CEO Jim Booth says he's waiting for Indian regulators and companies to resolve their issues before the first shipment of coal leaves. Booth says his company has an MOU to provide the coal when it's needed, but the deal doesn't make him responsible for producing coal that India isn't taking. During the first quarter of this year, coal production in western Kentucky for the first time surpassed eastern Kentucky. Booth says he hasn't given up on eastern Kentucky coal, but that exports alone won't make up for steep declines in domestic coal use.
We can increase our exports, but relatively on a scale that would not save the industry.
State data from 2011, the latest available, shows the Commonwealth exported 5.5 million tons of eastern Kentucky coal to foreign countries. That's only a small percentage of the more than 68 million tons of coal the region produced that year. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Erica Peterson.
Suspending the driver's license of Kentuckians who don't pay their taxes won't keep them off the road. So says the chairman of the Transportation Committee in the Kentucky House of Representatives. Democrat Hubert Collins is from Johnson County. He says people who refuse to pay their taxes will not be persuaded to do so by a state law that takes away their license to operate a motor vehicle.
They don't care, but it causes the problem for the public that are paying their taxes. So until those people don't pay their taxes, until we can confiscate their vehicle, it's not going to work.
Collins says the state has to do more to collect delinquent taxes than just send letters or make phone calls.
A Mount Sterling lawmaker does not think motorcycles should be charged the same road use fees as other vehicles. State Representative Richard Henderson wants the Kentucky legislature to consider discounts for motorcycles, which he says are more environmentally friendly.
Motorcycles have little impact on pollution, little impact on the roads, and therefore, you know, most of those cases are just out doing a ride or a joy ride or a charity event. So we need to take that in. We need to take that into consideration.
Henderson's call is supported by the Kentucky Motorcycle Association. President Jay Huber says some other states charge motorcycles less than cars or trucks for using toll roads or bridges.
Moorhead's Old Time Music Festival takes place this weekend just east of the city. The celebration of traditional music features fiddle, dulcimer, and banjo contests, as well as music workshops. Nathan Kaiser is the festival's operations manager.
With our workshops, we just like to teach people that are interested in traditional music. All the workshops are free. You know, our contests, we do have cash prizes for the contest, so we want to get people involved to give them the opportunity to share their music, and we want to make it just a good community event.
The 8th Annual Moorhead Old Time Music Festival is happening Friday and Saturday at the JC Farm alongside State Route 60. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bath, Menifee, and Elliott. Tonight, mostly clear and cooler with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant with highs in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with lows between 55 and 60 degrees. On Friday, partly cloudy skies with highs in the lower 80s. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. Currently in Ashland and Lexington, it is 77 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it is 75 degrees. In Winchester, it is 78 degrees. In Inez, it's 79 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it is currently 76 degrees.
It is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, 4 years ago, a woman swimming in Cave Run Lake fell victim to a silent killer. Earlier this summer, that killer struck again at Lake Cumberland. MSPR's Joshua Grandison has the story.
That sound is what you'd expect to hear when near an electrical current. It's a clear warning sign of danger, telling you to stay away or risk a nasty, possibly deadly shock. That sound is often absent when there is a live current running through the water.
That's why it's called the silent killer. You know, even when a power line is down on the road, if there's a power line down, people think, well, it's going to be arcing, it's going to be sparking, I'm going to know that that power line is live. But you just don't know if a power line on the road is live, and it's the same in the water. You can't see it. You can't see the electricity. There's no arcing. There's no sparking, anything like that.
That was Joey McLaughlin with SafeElectricity.org, and the silent killer he's referring to is electric shock drowning, or ESD. Sadly, electric shock drowning deaths are not unheard of near bodies of water. In 2009, a Jessamine County woman was electrocuted at Cave Run Lake after diving off of a houseboat into electrified water. And this past May, a man was determined to have died from ESD in Grayson County. One of the more startling facts about ESD may be that the number of people who die each year due to it is unknown.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anyone knows. It's called the silent killer for a reason, because you don't know. You just, especially if somebody's alone and, God forbid, they drown, you don't know necessarily why they've drowned. In many cases, it can be very difficult to determine the cause of death.
Earlier this month, a man was fatally electrocuted at Lake Cumberland in what was described by authorities as a freak accident. Kevin Short was exiting the lake after a swim and was shocked when he grabbed an aluminum ladder that had become electrified after coming into contact with an exposed cord. When his wife saw him struggling, she naturally rushed in to try and save him, only to be electrocuted herself.
It's very hard, especially if it's a relative. You know, they're struggling in the water and people want to jump in and help them. And that is not the thing you want to do. Of course, most of the time, you're not sure why they're struggling. You just see them struggling and they're in trouble, and you want to get in to help them, and then certainly more people can be injured that way.
Because it is hard to tell if there is indeed a current running through the water, it can be difficult to determine the right course of action in the event a friend or family member may need help. McLaughlin recommends that if you're swimming around your own dock, to cut all power immediately. If you're near a boat, it could be that exposed wiring in the boat is sending the current through the water. Of course, the best measures to take are the preventative ones.
There are certain things you should do, especially if you have a dock or if you have a boat in a dock. First of all, don't swim there. Never swim in or near a marina or a dock or a boatyard, because your dock may be fine. You may have had it inspected. You had it professionally installed, all the electricity. Your boat is fine. But the boat in the slip next to you, you have no idea if that boat is in proper working condition.
In big marinas with lots of power lines running near and around the water, it's hard to know if all of the equipment has been inspected and is up to code. Homeowners with docks should make sure that whoever is installing the electricity follows the National Electric Code. For more information on water and electrical safety, go to safeelectricity.org or contact the American Boat and Yacht Council and the National Fire Protection Association. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Joshua Grandison reporting.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Caleb has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. There's a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Wrigley Field will get a makeover, and local high schools are gearing up for the football season. That's ahead in today's sportscast on Mountain Edition. I'm Caleb Noe. Chicago City Council has approved a $500 million renovation of historic Wrigley Field, including a jumbotron above the ivy-covered left field wall. The jumbotron will be a first for the 99-year-old ballpark on the city's north side. The team is also adding another sign in the right field and using the advertising funds for the renovations. The Reds play their third of a 10-game West Coast route tonight at 10:15 Eastern Time against San Francisco. 9-4 Ryan Leake will take the mound for Cincy, while 4-1 Chad Godin pitches for the Giants. The Reds are riding steady at third place and 5 games back to the division-leading Cards in the NL Central. The Pirates are in second place at 1 game back. In today's midday Major League action, the Astros and A's are battling it out in Houston. The A's lead that one 4-3. After 7 innings. The Angels lead the Twins in Los Angeles 1-0 in the fourth, and the Indians have a solid 4-1 lead over the Mariners. That game's also in the fourth inning. The Lexington Legends have a rare day off as they gear up for what'll be a busy weekend. The Southern Division leading Legends and the Northern Division leading West Virginia Power will play 6 games in 4 days. Tomorrow will be a partial doubleheader to make up for the rain suspension on July 6th. And Saturday will be a true doubleheader to make up for the rainout on July 7th. The Cincinnati Bengals are gearing up for the start of their preseason camp. Things will kick off on Friday at Paul Brown Stadium. Head coach Marvin Lewis believes his returning vets will be coming into camp hungry. Buoyed by some key offseason acquisitions and talented draft picks, Lewis hopes the Bengals can improve on last year's 10-6 regular season finish and move beyond the first round of the AFC playoffs, where they lost in January to Houston. One of Kentucky's top players says his teammates have bought into the positive approach new head coach Mark Stoops has brought to the program. Linebacker Avery Williamson said Stoops has talked not only about winning games, but winning SEC games, and in particular, high-profile games.
And that's what I really love about him is his confidence, and he brings that with his staff as well, that that we got to win big-time games, and that we have the ability to win big-time games with the talent that we have. So we got great guys that can play. We just got to put it together.
Stoops expects Williamson to be one of the leaders of the UK defense this season. The 6'1", 240-pound linebacker was recently named to the SEC's All-Conference third-team defense. 1 month before the Vikings kick off, Rowan County football coach Kyle Singleton is continuing his hunt for a new quarterback. Singleton has three candidates for the job right now, senior Stephen Jones, junior Devin Helvey, and freshman Spencer Price. Singleton believes he has plenty of playmakers, adding they'll likely have to take some of the pressure off the new number one signal caller.
One of those situations where I think a lot of the guys around them are going to have to step up in order for us to be effective. But, you know, those kids are coming in early every day and meeting and trying to learn it and understand what they got to do. So, you know, I think we're on the right track.
The Vikes open the season at the 66th annual Rec Bowl in Montgomery County on August 24th against George Rogers Clark. Bath County's football team lost 18 seniors from last season's 8-3 squad. But veteran coach Reed Fields says their impact on his program is still being felt. Fields says that group provided the Wildcats' younger players with lessons in grit and determination, noting those seniors went into the 2012 campaign on the heels of three straight losing seasons and with serious chips on their shoulders.
We had kids sacrifice. I had two former fullbacks, linebackers, that pretty much stepped up and moved into our guard positions, and it made a huge difference for us having those athletic guys on the line, and it just... I think it's kind of, you know, winning is contagious, and so is work ethic, so is effort, and these kids have just taken a hold of that, and they're running with it right now.
Prosecutors have asked for more time to present evidence to a grand jury in the case against former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez. Hernandez is in court for what's supposed to be a probable cause hearing, but prosecutors say they're still presenting evidence and the grand jury is still considering it. Hernandez's attorney, James Sultan, objected to the delay, saying his client has already been jailed for 4 weeks. The judge rescheduled the probable cause hearing for August 22nd. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke with reporters today about Hernandez.
I and other members of the organization were shocked and disappointed in what we had learned. Having someone in your organization that's involved in a murder investigation is a terrible thing.
He said the club did what it had to do when it released Hernandez immediately after charges were placed. Moorhead State's new strength and conditioning coach says he came to the school to get the chance to head such a program at a top-flight university. Chris Fee comes to MSU after working at Yale University. Fee says his goal is continuity and consistency for all 16 of the Eagles' athletic programs.
Our job as a strength and conditioning coach, I believe, is to help prevent injury, to improve athletic performance, and to create a winning training environment. So whether that's through competition or just creating an environment at every lift and that mindset that, you know, what we do in here has a meaning and it has a purpose to what you're trying to do on the field or on court or whatever your sport is.
Fee has replaced Sean Williamson, who left MSU recently after spending only 1 year at the school. While the summer is a good time for his team's incoming players to adjust to the college game, Moorhead State women's basketball coach Tom Hodges says it's also been a crucial time for two of the Eagles' other new faces. Hodges hired assistant coaches Mark Cost and Sarah Jones in just the last few months, and he notes they're spending time right now acclimating themselves to the MSU women's hoops program.
For them to get to know our kids, number one, but then get to know how we do things, number two, has just been really good, and I feel like we've gotten off to a really nice head start as we enter the season.
All 15 of Hodges' players have been on campus this summer working out together and getting a leg up on their classwork. And that wraps up today's sportscast for Mountain Edition. I'm Caleb Noe reporting for Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks mostly ended in the red, but a tech stock rally fueled by Apple's better-than-expected earnings limited the losses. Apple, which of course is one of the most widely held stocks, often has an outsized impact on the overall tech sector as well as the broader market, and its 5% rise helped the tech-heavy NASDAQ finish just above the flat line, and a 7% jump in shares of Electronic Arts on the back of an earnings beat also helped. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow did show a loss, losing 25.5, finishing at 15,542.24 after finishing at a record high yesterday. The S&P 500 was down 6.45 at 1685.94. And as mentioned, the NASDAQ Composites managing a small gain of 0.33 at 3579.6. Caterpillar was a damper on the market today as it lowered its earnings and sales outlook for the year, and that sent its stock down 2.4%. And stocks have been grinding higher in recent days because investors took comfort from mostly improved earnings, and overall corporate earnings have been better than anticipated, although revenue growth remains modest. And more than a third of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported second quarter results. So far, 65% have topped analysts' low expectations. Aside from earnings in news today affecting individual companies, Dell said it has received a revised offer from founder Michael Dell and will be holding a special meeting August 2nd to consider its options. And apparel company Hanes Brands said it reached an agreement to buy Maidenform Brands in an all-cash deal worth $575 million. On the economic front, the Commerce Department said new home sales rose to a five-year high with an annual rate of 497,000 in June, up 8.3% in May. And this was actually slightly ahead of what analysts or economists had been expecting. Overseas European markets ended modestly higher after the latest Eurozone Purchasing Managers Index showed the region was stabilizing. Manufacturing output grew for the first time since February 2012, while the service sector saw its smallest rate of decline for 18 months. In Asia, stocks had a mixed day after HSBC said Wednesday that its flash index of Chinese manufacturing purchasing manager sentiment fell to an 11-month low in the month of July. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Apple, as mentioned, very strong, finishing with a gain of $21.52 at $440.51. Verizon was up 2 cents at $50.38. Ashland Inc. was down $1.96 at $86.43. Marathon Petroleum down $1.38 at $70.39. Fifth Third Bank down 17 cents at $19.59. And Walmart was down 32 cents to finish at $78.23. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU East Kentucky Small Business Development Center, serving 54 counties throughout Appalachian Kentucky to encourage manufacturers, wholesalers, and service providers to export products and services beyond the Kentucky region. Based at the Small Business Development Center in Paintsville, the Export Initiative seeks to market Kentucky to the world. More information at 606-788-7272, online at moreheadstate.edu/sbdc.
And take another look at the weather forecast for our listening area tonight. Mostly clear and cooler with lows in the upper 50s. Currently in Ashland, it's 77 degrees, as well as Lexington. It's also 77 degrees there. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. In Winchester, it's 78 degrees. In Inez, it's 79 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it is 76 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, Sam Steyert, and Caleb Noe. From Kentucky Public Radio, Erica Peterson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.